Good afternoon, everyone. This is Grizzly907LA. I'm shooting a video. It's a video response to Maine Preppers Eyewitness to Disaster videos, and I want to talk about my experience with the 1992 LA riots. I just got out of the military. I was living in Long Beach, California. The riots spread from Los Angeles down to Long Beach. Long Beach, California is a medium-sized city. It's, I'd say it's southwest of Los Angeles. And I did see some things. So let's get right to it. The LA riots started on April 29th, 1992. They went until May 9th, 1992. The cause of the LA riots, at least as it's as the media tells it and as other sources tell it, is because of the Rodney King verdicts. Approximately a year before the riots began, a video was shot of Rodney King being beaten by a number of police officers. The riots happened because the police officers got acquitted in Simi Valley. Hold on. The trial was moved to Simi Valley, California, which is a small town outside of Los Angeles County, because of the nonstop media coverage of the video. The video of Rodney King getting beat, so they moved it to another venue so they can get a free fair trial. So they got acquitted, and what happened was people in the inner city, people in the ghetto, were upset over the verdict, and they decided to riot. The riot started, it really got started when a white truck driver named Reginald Denny was driving down the street in South Central Los Angeles. He was stopped, and he was pulled out of his car by a man named Damian Football Williams and several other gangbangers. Now, if you look up Damian Football Williams, you will find that he was a gangbanger, high school dropout, drug dealing piece of trash, and his other accomplices were also gangbanging, violent, drug dealing pieces of trash, and they pretty much they almost beat Reginald Denny to death. And just a little side note, if we had a concealed carry weapon permits in California and Reginald Denny was armed, I doubt the beating would have taken place, because one of two things would have happened. One, they would have ran away, or two, there would have been a number of gangbangers on the street with their brains blowed out for the back of their heads. These gangbangers, these thugs, went on to beat several other people. And what also really contributed, and maybe I'm jumping ahead a little bit, what also contributed to the riots really spreading and going out of control was the fact that the news media just kept on blurring that Rodney King video where he was getting beat. And the jump back to the verdicts, the people on that jury, they just didn't watch the part where Rodney King was getting beaten. They watched the entire 10 minutes of the video. So they saw the video that most of the public didn't see. And, of course, the news media, because if it bleeds, it leads, they kept on spamming that That one section of the video where he was just getting beat like a dog. They didn't see the other 7-odd minutes of it. I mean, it was like a 10-minute video. So they got acquitted, and things escalated from there. A lot of people want to blame Chief Daryl Gates for the riots and for the lack of the police response. But here's the problem. Daryl Gates was in Simi Valley when the riot started, and him and Mayor Tom Bradley didn't get along very well. The thing with Los Angeles is that the police chief is not selected by the mayor. He's selected by a board. He's also not elected. So basically, they're basically two separate offices, and they didn't get along. And Bradley did everything in his power he could to trip up Gates and prevent a proper police response. And you know, the reality of the situation is the cops were overwhelmed. They were outnumbered. So the Reginald Denny beat really jumped it off. Really encouraged other people to start rioting, and all hell broke loose. Excuse me. Businesses in the inner city got burnt down. People in the inner city, most of them welfare recipients, I'm sorry to say, if you don't like that, well, I don't know what to tell you. They decided to start looting stores and carrying out stuff. As a little side note, once the riots were over, cops were able to find the looters because they were abandoning stuff on the curb that they looted, because they looted so much stuff that they didn't have room in their place, in their house or their apartment to store it in. So that's how they found a lot of the more egregious looters. I want to talk about a little bit about the Korean community. African Americans in Los Angeles hate Koreans for some reason. And, you know, I've dealt with Koreans myself. They're not impolite as so much as they're not personable. You know, they're to the point. They're not, you know, I've never, you know, went to a Korean grocery store. There's one next door to my building. And the store has never been rude, but they're very, very much to the point. Not a lot of what you would call people skills, but I've never had a problem with them. On the other hand, when some of these people from in the inner city go into these stores, they're rude. They give these small businessmen nothing but grief. They steal from them. They vandalize. They just do a bunch of stuff. And mind you, these people are small businessmen. They're not corporate types. They don't have like a franchise. They don't own a 7-Eleven. So when someone does that to them, it pretty much sticks them in the pocketbook. And after a while, getting treated like dirt, being talked down to, being treated like crap by the residents of their community, they start getting rude back. And I think that's what happened. And a lot of African Americans say that Koreans are taking economic opportunities away from them. But the reality is most of those people are on welfare. They didn't do well in high school. They didn't want to work hard. They didn't want to go to college or even get a trade skill. But yet, it's the Koreans' fault. Anyway, getting back to what I was saying. The Korean community got hit really hard, like in Koreatown. A lot of places burned. Basically, the Los Angeles Police Department fled. One hand, I could see it, but the other hand, protect and serve. You know, it could go either way. But they fled, and they pretty much left the rioters to do whatever they wanted. So a lot of Korean businesses burnt down, but some of them caught wind of what was going on. They obtained firearms, and they started fighting back. One particular thing that stood out in the news media documented it was a group of Korean. There's two separate instances that I remember. One was a shootout where a Korean grocery store owner was about to get a store looted and burned. And armed inner city scumbags came in there and started, you know, trying to give him some grief, and he started shooting them. He shot back at him, and guess what? There was a gun battle. Hey, he saved his store. They backed off. Another famous incident, I believe it was the California Market in Koreatown, and the owner of the building got all the shop owners together, armed them up, and they are up on the roof with shotguns, AK-47s. I think it even seemed like a MAC-10 or an Uzi. You know, rifles, whatever they can get their hands on, and they were up on top of the roof, and their attitude was like, if you want to come and burn this place down, come and get it. We're going to shoot you on sight. That place didn't burn down, so that's another victory for the Second Amendment and firearms, because the people that defended themselves against these thugs were able to keep their businesses intact. They didn't get burnt down, but the ones that didn't, well, they lost their businesses, and they lost everything. Another side note, a year later when these cops got tried in federal court, which I thought was BS, because whether you agree or disagree with the verdict or not, they already went to trial, but the feds got them on the whole, violating Rodney King's civil rights. It was a crock of shit, but whatever. That's just my opinion. So this went on, you know, this went on in Long Beach, and a couple things happened in my neck of the woods. The first thing that really stuck out of my mind was there was a local Department of Motor Vehicles maybe a three-quarters to a mile away from my residence where I was staying at after I got out of the military. And mind you, I just got out of the military like 6 months, maybe 8 to 6 months ago, and then this stuff happens. So they burned down the DMV, and the rationale behind burning down the DMV is these idiots thought that they had their records there kept at the DMV, so they thought they burned down this local DMV branch that the points on their driver's license, their suspended license stuff, their warrants will all be cleared out. And what these morons couldn't grasp for whatever reasons is that those records are kept, you know, probably in a very secure location in a mainframe in Sacramento, California. A number of areas got totally trashed. The Vietnamese area of Long Beach, because Long Beach, California does have a significant Vietnamese population. They came as refugees from South Vietnam when the North took over. And, you know, they worked hard. They opened up small businesses. they were living the American dream. And that's the thing. It's pretty sad because people in America, even if things were bad in 1992, they're not as bad as they are now. But, people from other countries, refugees, immigrants, they saw opportunity, took it. And that goes for the Koreans, They opened up stores. They worked hard. They worked like 18-hour days or more. They really bust their humps and making their businesses succeed. So the Vietnamese area of Long Beach got burned. It was, I'd say the Vietnamese, kind of enclave was on Anaheim Street. It was between PCH, Anaheim. It went, some stores were around Long Beach Boulevard. And if anybody's from Long Beach, California, they know these landmarks. So they got decimated. On the other hand, a lot of store owners just flat out burnt their businesses down themselves and blamed it on the rioters because they were in the red. And what they did was they burnt their own business down, made it look like the rioters did it so they could collect the insurance money. A famous case in Long Beach is Hanson's Market. The guy actually got convicted because of arson because the investigators found out that he burnt down his own business to get the insurance money. So you have that going on too. 53 people got killed during these riots and 2,000 were injured. It's estimated there's over $1 billion of property damage. The inner cities were just decimated. South Central, Compton, Watts, parts of Long Beach, parts of the inner city of Long Beach. And, well, with Long Beach, California, you got a lot of inner city stuff interwoven with middle class areas. It's a really weird dichotomy. So what happened was finally P. Wilson, hold on. Hold on, sorry about that. My phone was going off. Whoever that was. Anyway, I'll get it later. So what happened was Pete Wilson mobilized the National Guard. He made a request for federal aid. On the fourth day, Marines from Camp Pendleton were deployed to Long Beach, to Los Angeles and Long Beach, California. I saw them there at our shopping mall in downtown Long Beach. They actually camped out there in that location in the parking structure. So the Marines were called in, the National Guard was called in, and then they started clamping it down, and that's when the riots started to die out. Well, you know what, that is a big reason why the riots died down, but also the other big reason, though, was between 4/29 and 5/9/92, people got their welfare checks. They used to get paid on the 1st and 15th of every month, so things started dying down maybe by the 1st or 2nd, And then they didn't fully die down until about May 9th. But the reality is, and some people are going to argue with me, is the fact that they stopped writing because their checks came. And it was really a sad sight seeing these people lined up, desperately looking for a check cashing place to go cash their welfare checks because these very same people had burnt down the check cashing places. And nothing was open because places like the post office, the banks were all told, don't come into work, it's not safe. And they didn't get the all clear. So a lot of these people were just standing around with not knowing what to do, but yet they were the same people that burned down the city. So let's look at some of the root causes, at least some of the root causes that the corporate news media cites and the left in this country cites as being the problem. Lack of economic opportunities in the inner city. A lot of African Americans are out of work. They usually generally have a higher unemployment rate than other sectors of the economy. I think that's totally BS, because you got to understand something. I live in the inner city. I live in Skid Row. I live in downtown LA, and most of the people I meet are illiterate. They didn't do well in high school. They never tried to go out. A lot of them are high school dropouts. They didn't apply themselves. They didn't work hard in school. They didn't go to school to get a trade skill or a job skill. And when you're in that situation, the only jobs you're going to get are low-paying, like menial labor jobs. Janitor, laborer, etc., working at a warehouse, loading trucks. You're not going to do very well, and there's not a lot of those jobs around anymore because they've all been shipped off to China. Even back in 1992, there weren't a lot of those jobs. Most of these people, the males at least have criminal records for drug dealing, gang banging, and assault, various other crimes, theft. And The reason why this is caused is because in 1965, Lyndon Johnson made it easier for people to get welfare. And if a mother wanted to get welfare, what they had to do was the man couldn't be in the home. So basically, the federal government, through welfare, took the man out of the home. And a lot of these young men grew up without a father. And they were left with role models such as Ray Ray, the drug dealer, gangbanger down the street. You know, it's not the lack of economic opportunities. It's the lack of the fact that these people didn't want to put themselves in a position to create economic opportunities for themselves. Most of the people in the inner city used this and the fact that the police were too hard on them as an excuse to burn down the city, and they looted it and hurt people because of it. You know, it's basically this inner city slash welfare mentality that is the root cause of these riots. You know, put down education, put down self-improvement. And in the inner city, you got to understand is that most people glorify ignorance and stupidity. They, you know, it's the dumber, more ignorant, more violent you are, the more points you get. If you're a kid in the inner city and you're going to school, you're getting good grades, and you have big words in your vocabulary, meaning for these people more than two syllables, you get called an Uncle Tom, you get called a sellout, and you basically get hounded and picked on. Women don't want to date you, etc., etc. And so the inner city mentality glorifies ignorance. It glorifies being lazy. It doesn't glorify hard work. It doesn't glorify perseverance. It doesn't promote education and self-improvement. You know, here's the dichotomy. You know, I'm going to school right now, and you know, I'm having a hard time with financial aid. You know, and I'm having a hard time, you know, getting the funds I need for books. I had to drop a course for that very reason because I couldn't afford the a code for a lab. But a lot of these minorities, they get scholarships, they get grants, they get set aside, not because of academic excellence, but because they're minorities, and I think that's wrong. So the root causes of this is just a very ignorant inner city population that's first, you know, at least in 1992 was like first or second generation welfare families, and you know, and just the general degradation of the human being. I mean, you really want to look at it, that's the root cause of it. It's not the lack of economic opportunities or jobs. It's not because of poverty. It's because you know, the system took the dad out of the homes, and you know, the system denounced, you know, made it okay not to made it okay to be ignorant and not very smart. So, in my opinion, that's what the riots were caused by. It wasn't the Rodney King verdict. It was the people that were rioting. You know, it's pretty sad because a lot of these people there, they have a slavery. They're enslaved. They're enslaved by the system. They're enslaved by the welfare state. They're enslaved by the welfare mentality. That's the biggest thing why these riots occurred. As a little side note, Damian Football Williams, he got a light sentence handed to him when he attacked Reginald Denny, but in 2003 he was arrested for murder, and he got sentenced to Pelican Bay for life. So, yeah, just because to see what type of person that Damian Football Williams was from. And Reginald Denny, it took him a long time to rehabilitate his speech, his ability to move, and he's still permanently walking impaired. He has a hard time walking because of that attack. So I hope this wasn't too rambling. I hope it wasn't too bad. You know, I'm going to send this video to Main Prepper to see if he'll let me, if I could post it as a response. This has been Grizzly in 907 LA. That's my witness to disaster, the 1992 LA riots. Thank you.